Book of John, chapter 19. I did fail to mention that we will have a brief business meeting tonight. It's our regularly scheduled business meeting at the conclusion of service tonight, if the Lord so leads us. There have been two or three times where we tried to have a business meeting on Sunday night. Some of y'all were here for those, some of those services, and we couldn't even get to the business meeting. God was just a blessing so much in the service, we couldn't get to the business meeting.
Right.
You may say, preacher, what do you mean? You'd have been here to sing.
Right.
You'd have been here. I've never seen anything. Two times that's happened. It's been incredible. So make sure you try to be here tonight and pray for the service tonight. All right. The book of John, chapter 19, if you would stand with me. Verse number 34. There's a lot of preaching could be done out of these verses, but I feel led to begin with two verses. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. You see, friends, Jesus was already dead. My cousin is a doctor. He said that blood and water in your body after you die will separate. So Jesus was already dead when they came and pierced his side. Normally they would come and break the legs of all those hanging on the cross, but Jesus was already dead. They didn't have to break his legs, so they just pierced his side. And out came blood and water. Verse 35, he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Jesus was already dead. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Amen. Interested in that thought there, that where the Bible says that the spear pierced his side. What came out? Blood and water. Then something else came out too. Not recorded right here, but I can show you that there's something else came out of his side. Got your curiosity, don't you? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God, and we pray by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you allow us to preach today. We pray, Father, you'd help us to dig through truths in the Word of God. For these favors, we plead and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Preacher, the Bible says that blood and water came out, and he that saw it bear record, and the record's true. Why thank God that anything else came out? I want to say to you that from his side was birthed the church. We are born again by his precious blood. We were taken from his side. We are the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom.
Amen.
Want to study some brides in the Word of God today, some biblical brides is how we'd like to entitle this. If you would turn back with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, I believe chapter 2 is where I want to start. Some biblical brides. Now, there's a lot of brides in the Bible. Many of them speak of the church and Christ and that relationship. Sarah is one that might not. She represents Israel. But most of the brides represent the church. Even in the Old Testament, before the church is ever mentioned, it's being foreshadowed. It's pointing towards this truth. Hey, Jesus knew the church would be birthed one day. From the beginning of the beginnings, he had a plan. And he knew you and I would be sitting right here today. Amen? The book of Genesis, chapter number 2. And verse number 18, this is after God has made man. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there is not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam's bride was taken from his side. Taken out of him was his bride. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. From Adam's side was formed his bride. Her name was Eve. She was a brand new creature. Nothing like that had ever happened before. Woman had not yet been created. But taken from his side, we see the woman, a brand new creation. She was taken from his rib, near his heart, amen, so that she could share love with him. Not from his foot to be trampled on, or not from his head to rule over the top of him, but taken from his side, my friends. Now, that's symbolic of the church, because it was Jesus on the cross there, when his side was pierced, that from his side came blood and water. And from that precious blood, you and I are the bride of Christ. Amen. And in this very first one, we see point number one, the formation of the church. We see how Eve was formed and how the woman was formed. And we see how the church was formed. From the side, from the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the formation of the church. Now, let's see the faith of the church. Point number two. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 24. We'll see another bride. We've seen the formation of the church, which was pointed and foreshadowed through Eve. Now we'll see the faith of the church through a young lady by the name of Rebecca. Bible says in verse 1, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all that it had, put I pray thee thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Well, this servant of Abraham, and his name is never mentioned, but he sets off to find a bride for Isaac. Isaac didn't go himself. The servant was sent by Abraham. Father Abraham, that's what a lot of people call him. And so the Bible says in verse number 12, he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel, to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, and I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. I will also give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. Now he was praying, saying, let a girl come out, carry a pitcher, and give me something to drink, and water all the camels too. And before he could say amen, out walks a little young lady by the name of Rebekah. She's got a pitcher in her hand. And he asks for something to drink, she gives him drink, and she begins to water his camels also. And my friends, he asked Rebekah where she's from, and
She invited him to come back to her home and meet all of her family there. And I want you to know they sat down to have something to eat. And go all the way down to verse number 33. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. So there at the dinner table, the servant sits down and says, I can't eat until I tell you and share with you my business. And he began to say how he was Abraham's servant and how he was sent on a mission to find a bride for his servant's son, Isaac, for his father's son, Isaac. And so that when he was out looking for this bride, he ran across Rebecca, not by happenstance and not by chance, but she was directly appointed to come forward. And he had only shared with this young lady about the love that Isaac had for his father, Abraham, and about how that they were so blessed and all the greatness and the glory and the splendor of Isaac. And my friend, all the way down to verse number 58, they called Rebekah, after he finished his speech, they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. You see, that's faith. My friend, that very moment when the servant looked and was given that message, and the family asked, hey, wilt thou go with this man? She said, I'll go. Imagine, girls, she was going to marry a man she had never met. She was going to marry a man she had never laid eyes on. Whether he was handsome or not, somehow inside her, hearing the message of the love that they had for each other, the father and son, and the son and the father, hearing the grandeur and the splendor of these folks, she stepped out on faith without ever laying eyes on him and said, I will go. Symbolic of how you got saved. You become the bride of Christ. You never saw him. You never seen him physically standing there in front of you. But yet when you heard about the love he had for you, and the love he had for his father, and the father has for his son, and all the grandeur and the splendor. That night when the man of God preached, and the servant of God, the Holy Ghost, went out seeking a bride for the son. When he got out there, amen, he was asked, will you go with this man? And praise God, you went and stepped out. Went to that altar and fell on your knees and began to weep and said, I will go. I will turn from my life that I know now. And I want to serve Jesus Christ and ask him to save me. And I want to become his bride. My friend, not only do we see the formation of the church in Eve, but we see, my friend, the faith of the church in Rebekah. In that she said, I will go. Notice here how that she, the Bible says down here in verse number 61, Rebekah arose and her damsels. They rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahor, and he went and dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went up to meditate in the field at the eventide. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Can you imagine when she left home and said, I will go. She was traveling with her damsels and with that servant. That servant knew how to get her to the bridegroom. She was following him, traveling with him. It was a long, long journey. Every land, every village that they came to along the way, she was just a pilgrim passing through on her way to meet the bridegroom. Amen? My friend, it took a long time. It was a long journey. And I guarantee you, she continued to ask that servant, tell me more about Isaac, the bridegroom. Tell me more about his father, Abraham. Hey, the journey you and I are on, when we accepted years ago to get saved and said, I'll go. The journey that you and I are on now, it's been a long journey, has it not? It seems like it has. and we're on this journey. And the servants leading us, amen. That's the Holy Ghost of God. He's leading us. And every time we say, I want to learn more of the bridegroom, my friend, he'll open up and share another truth and give us another one of those gospel nuggets. I'm thankful today that you and I can show our faith in the Son of God. And one day, my friend, our faith is going to end in sight. And we're going to lay eyes on Him for the first time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to be wed there when we get to glory. And we're going to get to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful time it's going to be.
Amen.
But I can't stop there with just the formation and the faith of the church. I want you to look with me in Genesis chapter number 41. There's a lot of points in this message. I just want to use three of them, for example, today. Verse number 37. This is about Joseph being down in Egypt, sold by his brothers. And now he's been made governor over all of Egypt. Look with me. He's beginning to save all the corn and try to rescue Egypt from a future famine that's coming on. And verse 37 says of Genesis 41, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Oh, Joseph's a type of Jesus. I want you to know you'll never find nobody filled with the Spirit like Jesus Christ. Amen. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by the handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. We see this third bride. We saw Eve. We see Rebecca. Now we see a young lady by the name of Asenath in verse number 45. You see her there? Verse 45. That young lady was a favored young lady. She represents the church. What do you mean she's favored? She was born in obscurity. She didn't have a whole lot of anything. My friend, from obscurity, she went to majesty in one day. You see, her husband, Joseph, was made ruler over all the land of Egypt. And as soon as she married him, she was seated right beside him. Read a story one time about a lady. Her whole life she had nothing. She'd wear them toe sack dresses. You know what I'm talking about? Put taters in them. She'd make her something to wear. That's what she'd wear. She couldn't afford nothing else. She was poor. But one day, all of a sudden, she walked to the department store and lined her up a whole bunch of clothes and went down there and paid cash for it. Then she went down there to the car lot and she pulled out of her purse a whole bunch of $100 bills and laid them down there and paid cash for a brand new vehicle. She went back home driving it and her friend came over and said, I want to know something about you. I mean, all this time you've been wearing them poor old dresses and you've been, everybody feeling sorry for you. And this whole time you're just holding out on us. You're just hoarding that money, had it stored in the ground somewhere, and now you decide to pull it out and flaunt it in front of everybody. She said, I don't know how you did it. She said, no, I'm the same person as I was yesterday. The difference is last night I got married, and my husband's a rich man. And now everything that he has belongs to me. I went from rags to riches just as soon as I married into that family. I want to say to you, amen, you may be born in obscurity and you may be living in poverty. But my friend, when you wed Jesus Christ and you met the bridegroom and you became the bride, you went from rags to riches just like that. You may not look like a whole lot on this earth and look like you have a lot of possessions. But my friend, the way I'm seeing it right now, you and I are richer than the rich. Hallelujah. Because you and I have met the bridegroom and we're on our way. I'm telling you what, she had a favored place in just one moment of time. She shared the position of Joseph, ruler of the land. Boy, did she feel important.
Amen.
You know what? Our husband, our bridegroom, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And we're sitting right beside him. What a blessing. Not only does she have a favorite place, but notice something about Asenath. Let's study her for just a minute. Her daddy's name was Potipharah. That was his name. You know what that means? Potipharah? Given by the sun god. And he was the priest of On. The priest of On, they worshiped the sunshine. And he was the priest of the sunshine. And this young lady's name, he named his daughter Asenath. And you know what Asenath means? Belonging to Naphth. What's that mean to me? Well, in Egyptian mythology, Naphth was the goddess of the Delta. She was the source of wisdom. And supposedly she had three daughters, and all three of them became goddesses. And that's what Asenath means. She was born in idolatry. And you know what? Oh, we can look at her and study about, oh, we know about Egypt had skill building pyramids, their architecture and all the archaeology and all the mathematicians that they had and all the skill they had for mummifying corpses, Brother Chris. I mean, their culture was so advanced, yet they were ignorant enough to worship cows and cats and the sunshine. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ain't amazing we can put rockets on the moon, but you can't talk till you get on your cell phone, and your cell phone cuts out right down here. Isn't that amazing? And I'm glad that the lowest rock you can crawl under, you can still reach heaven just by one simple prayer.
Amen.
And he's never dropped a call. And he ain't going to start now. I want to say to you about this young lady, Asenath. We know something about her daddy. He was Potipharah, the priest of On. And we know what her name means. And we know how Egypt was advanced in culture and skill. But I cannot figure out, I've studied and studied, y'all. I cannot come up with her education, her religion. I cannot tell you about her desires or her goals. I don't know anything, Brother Shane, about her past, about her childhood growing up. I don't know anything about it. And that makes me think. What's not said is important. Her past is not mentioned because it's been blotted out. It's been forgiven.
Amen.
You catching on?
Amen.
My past don't matter anymore.
Right.
I have a favored place, but I have a forgotten past.
Right.
When I met Jesus, all that ever I did is under the shed blood of Calvary.
Right.
And my past has been erased. It's even blotted out of His book.
Amen.
Never to be brought up against me anymore. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions. Praise God that He takes our sins and casts them behind His back, never to be remembered against us anymore.
Amen.
This Asenath, amen, she represents the church, my friend, the future of the church, in her favored place and by her forgotten past. Ain't you glad today that your past has been forgotten?
Amen.
God don't remember it anymore. If you had any doubt, look right here at Asenath. It's not even mentioned about her. And you know what else? Asenath, she became a faithful part of Joseph's life. A faithful part. What do you mean, preacher? Look at verse 52. Or 50 and 51 and 52. Look, start at 50. Unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bare unto him. She had a part in raising two baby boys. Why, preacher, duh. Woman has a baby. It takes two, right? Well, okay. Go with me now. If you are the bridegroom, he's the bridegroom, and you are the bride of the bridegroom, you can have a part in bringing many sons unto glory. By being a faithful bride. By being a faithful witness. Testifying to the power of the bridegroom.
Amen.
Look at her. First of all, Joseph names his first son Manasseh. Meaning, God has made me forget my father's house. Remember how he was sold by his brothers. God's made me forget. Hey, ain't you glad your sins have been forgotten?
Amen.
But I tell you what gets forgotten around this place. This is what we forget. This do in remembrance of me. We forget about him. That's what we're not supposed to forget about. What about how we're supposed to present ourselves holy and acceptable unto the Lord? Amen?
Right.
Our body's a living sacrifice.
Right.
Holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. Which is our reasonable service. Oh, that's the part we want to forget. Amen. What about pray without ceasing?
Yeah. Bless you, Lord.
And we want to forget about that part too. Amen. What about be ye filled with the Spirit? Oh, let's forget about that part. What about study to show thyself approved? Oh, we forget about that part. What is it you want to remember and dwell on? How you were treated.
Right.
What should have been done for you and didn't get done for you.
Bless you, Lord.
That's what it is you want to... I'm telling you what, you need to forget all the things of the past and put them behind you. It don't matter anymore. And press on and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And serve God. Don't forget His Word, y'all. Don't forget His Word. Not only did he name him Manasseh, but the next one he named Ephraim. Read what Ephraim means. He says, God hath caused me to be fruitful. You know what you need to be as a church, and I need to be as a church, as a bride, faithful to the bridegroom?
Right.
We need to become fruitful.
Amen.
Fruitful. We're going to read a few verses. Romans chapter 7. I'm almost done, I promise. Romans chapter 7. Verse number 4. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. Now, some of you could take that part right there, that you should be married to another, and go tell your wife, said, see, I told you so. If you took that verse out of context, you could do that. But that's not what it means. Read on. That you should be married to another, even to him, that is, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You are to be married to another. To who, preacher? To him that is raised from the dead. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Why should we marry him? That we may bring forth fruit unto God. You'll never bring fruit to God by yourself.
Amen.
You're the bride. The bride cannot bring forth fruit on her own. It must have the help of the bridegroom.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Nod your head if you're with me.
Amen.
The book of John, chapter 15. Verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Read down verse 4. Verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. The bride cannot bear fruit on her own. You must be abiding in the bridegroom.
That's right.
You want to see fruit in this church? Do you want to see fruit in your life? You had better be associated with the bridegroom.
Amen.
You've already got a favored place. Amen. You've already got a forgotten past. Amen.
Amen.
But what about doing your faithful part? Are you faithful to Him?
Bless Him, Lord.
Read on. I am the vine, verse number 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 2 is more fruit. Verse 5 is much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Preacher, I don't like that. Hey, that's the word of God. Without Him, we will do nothing. Read on. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. We went from more fruit, my friend, from bearing fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be in our disciples. Hey, these three brides, Eve, Rebecca, and now we're talking about Asenath. They all point us to relationship with Christ. And if you and I are going to do our faithful part, we'll be bearing fruit. What's bearing? What are you bearing in your life? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and I'll close. These are the fruits you and I ought to be bearing in our life. If we're not bearing this properly, you may be bearing fruit, but are you bearing more fruit? If you're bearing more fruit, are you bearing much fruit? I will say this to you. You can always do more.
Right.
What you need to do is you need somebody in this church to say, Lord, here's my basket. You just fill it up. I know it's a big basket. You know, I can remember as a young Christian, I went out on a little basket, and the Lord let me do a few things, and I was like, and the Lord blessed me, and I was like, oh, Lord, look how He's blessed me. And I came and gave it to Him, and then He handed me a bigger basket. And I went, no, I don't want that one. I want that other one back. That was pretty easy. I can do that. Listen, you and I need to give Him more of us and do our faithful part. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you have a love problem? No, preacher, I don't have a love problem. Then why do you get so aggravated? Hey, man, preacher. Why do you complain and murmur so much? If you love right, you wouldn't complain as much as you do. Not only just love, but joy. I know if your joy was right, you wouldn't complain. Hardly anybody I've ever heard in my life complains about joy. I never walked up, Brother Jeff, I never walked up and said, how you doing, boy? I've got a lot of joy.
Amen.
I tell you what, if the bride would spend more time with the bridegroom, we'd see more fruit.
Amen.
Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You got peace today? Well, sometimes it do and sometimes it don't. Are you hanging around the bridegroom? Huh? Are you worried and shaking and fretting about everything? Huh? Worried to death about this happening? When you're taking Melanas at nighttime, hey, God's up all night. He can handle it. Just trust in Him. Hey, trust in the bridegroom. The bride don't have to worry about nothing. She just looks to Him. Little Asenath just looks to Joseph and said, hey, you're the ruler over all of Egypt. You speak and it's done. That's who we're with. He's our bridegroom. He said, if you ask me, it'll be done for you. Hey, we're in a favored place. He loves us.
Amen.
Some of you act like you want to fight with Him all the time. But hey, He loves us so much, we shouldn't possibly fight against His love. Amen.
Amen.
Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's just amazing. Because I sat down about all week studying, and God gave me a message on jealousy and on envy. All week long, oh boy. Everybody gets quiet. Then God said, that stuff ain't fruit of the Spirit. When this church decides they want to spend more time with the bridegroom, more time in the Word of God, there'll be more fruit and a lot less envy.
Right.
And a lot less strife.
Right.
And a lot less vainglory. Hey, you and I just need to decide, you know what? There's three brides in here that the preacher showed us today that point to Christ. Why is my relationship as a Christian with Him suffering the way it is? Maybe you're not spending time with the bridegroom. I'm telling you, any relationship, if the bride and the bridegroom don't spend enough time together, there'll be problems.
Amen.
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 Amen. Some of you y'all say amen. I guarantee you, he takes off hunt long enough, there'll be problems.
Amen.
She takes off shopping long enough, there'll be problems. You don't spend time on one another like you ought to, there'll be problems. What you'll do is you'll sit in my office and say, I ain't happy no more. Hey, I didn't say where he said happy in there. Preacher, you're going to let us go 12:15. Have you got it yet? You'd better spend time with the bridegroom.
Amen.
You stay with me. Your head's bowed very quickly. Might be somebody here today where my voice goes out. Might be somebody here today. Seth's going to come play. Your head's bowed. Nobody's looking. Say, you know what, Lord? I know I'm part of the bride, the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when the preacher talks about fruit of the Spirit, I'm not just happy with bearing a little fruit. He's done so much for me, I want to bear more fruit. In fact, I want to bear much fruit. You know, as an aunt, she bore two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. She was representative of the bride of Jesus Christ. Hey, can I ask you something, friend? Are you winning people to the Lord? Is your testimony being faithful? You go out and you talk to people about getting saved. Preacher, I'd like to win somebody to the Lord. I really want to do that. I'm telling you, you ought to come spend a little time this morning with the bridegroom. You ought to be concerned about people's souls. Help bring many sons unto glory. The only way you'll do it is being faithful to obey and hear His voice. I'm telling you, friends, when the bridegroom speaks, the bride responds. Folks are coming. Friend, what about you this morning? He speak to you about stepping out. If he did, you better mind him. Preacher, I just want to be faithful to him. Oh, he's been so good to me. He's given me a favored place. He's given me a forgotten past. Oh, I'll never get over that. But today, I will do my faithful part. I will be a faithful bride to the bridegroom. He's loved me like nobody else. And He's given me joy unspeakable, full of glory. He gives me peace and passes all understanding. Why, when I'm around Him, I have no fear. Because perfect love, it casts out all fear. I will tell y'all, you'd spend a little more time being associated closer with the bridegroom. Things in your life go a whole lot smoother. You just do your faithful part. Be a faithful bride to the bridegroom. Our Father, thank you, Dave. The very start of the Word of God right there. Young lady by the name of Eve that was taken out of man. We see that represents the church being taken, born from the side of Jesus, from the precious blood. Oh, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that blood. They lose all their guilty stains. Oh, God, we thank you, Father, for the very fact you saw fit to call us one day. Oh, we're unworthy, like Asenath was, obscure and poor. All our righteousness was as filthy rags. Oh, but you saw fit through love to save us. And God, as soon as you did, while we went from poverty right to the richest of the rich, just in a moment's notice. Lord, we thank you for forgiving our sins, wiping our testimonies clean. And Lord, I pray we'd use this clean life, this clean slate you've given us for your glory. That God, we'd do our faithful part. We'd witness, Father, and we'd stand that we may bear fruit for your glory. There was a Manasseh. There was an Ephraim. God, I pray today there'd be folks today that they can look back and say, oh, I had a part in seeing so-and-so get saved. I've been praying for them. I've been trying to witness to them. But I know I can do nothing without the bridegroom. Oh, if he'd bless it, they'd get saved. God, I pray today, Father, that this church would once again bear glory, bear fruit for your honor, love and joy. Father, I pray, God, for peace and long-suffering. Oh, Lord, help us, Father, to bear fruit for the glory of God. These in the honor of the name, God, they have specific needs. God, you know what they are. I do not. But I pray, God, you'd meet the request. God, no doubt many of them are hearing this all today to say, Lord, I love you. I thank you. When I was unworthy, you loved me and you called me and you saw fit to forgive me and save me. And now I've been yoked to you. You are my bridegroom and I'm the bride. And I feel unfaithful and I feel undeserving and I feel unworthy. But I'm glad that the groom, he gives us security. He reminds us every day of his care, of his love, of his affection for us. Lord, I thank you for your sweet, sweet voice that speaks love to our hearts to encourage us. Father, there are needs in these folks' lives. God, as they call unto you, Father, I pray you hear the voice of the bridegroom as he makes intercession on the bride's behalf. Father, I pray their needs to be met by your supply. Lord, we ask these favors in Jesus' worthy name. Amen and amen.